is Cascadia Public Radio.
Zero Lounge. I'm Clyde Lewis. Let's hear it loud and proud for MediaMonarchy.com, who James has been quite gracious in putting a lot of our shows on the internet right now, Cascadia FM as well. We are a live broadcast tonight going out with that. So I'd like to put some of the ground rules down for the Ground Zero Lounge. First of all, we are a open discussion show. We talk about news items that mainly that do not get reported by the mainstream. And so a lot of this stuff may be uncomfortable for a few people. A lot of this stuff may be strange. A lot of this stuff may be out of the ordinary for you. But you're going to learn something before the night's out. And by the way, we don't take too well to hecklers here in this audience. This is not a heckling show. If you want to challenge what I have to say, or if you're pissed off by what I'm saying, or if you're pissed off by what I'm talking about, we have a microphone right here. We have a microphone here. If you want to talk, we'll discuss it. If you want to argue with another audience member, you can do that as well. And we do enforce this rule. So if you decide you want to be unruly and you want to heckle because beer sometimes and politics don't mix, beer and religion don't mix, sometimes beer and anything don't mix, we will escort your ass out of here if you don't do it that way, okay? So tonight on the show, we're very happy to be talking about some things. Last week, you may remember, we were talking a little bit about the flu. We were talking about how they were going to be preparing for this, that this is something that they were going to be doing, that they were going to follow through with, and they followed through with it. And they have used it to exploit some things going on right now. So here's the deal. We want to be able to find out what the next step is. We want to know what the next phase is in this whole strange, exploitive type thing that we're seeing, which is this influenza. Tonight I've entitled the show, Being Green, It's Not So Easy. And there's a reason why I'm calling it this, is because I want to lead you to an area where you're going to see that sometimes even go globally green or global warming may or may not be the way things are working. So anyway, let's go forward to the show. The focus of many of the Ground Zero shows that we've been talking about for the past weeks have been dealing with a lot of threats that can be manufactured and force multiplied into becoming perceived public crises. From right-wing extremism, terrorism, global warming, alien threats, and advanced bio-attacks, there seems to be no change in lifting the yoke of uncertainty here in America. We have been told that change is coming. We have been told that change is happening. Well, change is not happening because we see that there is still that yoke of uncertainty in America. It hasn't abated. It still exists here. We have terrorists looming on the horizon. We've got bio threats coming at us from every which way. We've got the flu. We've got all these other things. And there's a reason behind all this crisis. The reason behind this crisis is because there's money in crisis. There's money in disaster capitalism. Someone just yelled, swine flu rocks. It makes you some money. You know, it's great sport for the elite to see the people squirm in order to exploit and manipulate them to follow their whims. They now are blurring the lines of reality in order to create a consensus myth about the new direction of America. The majority of Americans just follow the leader without questioning because they are cajoled into playing along. Some act like lemmings when the right emotional buttons are pushed. The panic button is extremely effective in bringing people, like lambs or pigs in this case, to the slaughter. And so we need to pay attention as to what they're telling us, and we need to make our decisions based on logic, not on fear. Fear-based is not the way to be. When the Ground Zero Lounge presented the show MK Agricultura, the Contaminational Crisis, we reported the Department of Homeland Security's new target was right-wing extremism and the coming bioterror threat. There's been tough talk against the right-wing protesters and anyone who threatens the new administration, and it was thought to be an addendum by the Obama camp. Well, we've just realized that this new extremism, this right-wing extremism, was not written by the Obama camp. It was written by the Bush camp. The Bush administration had targeted left-wing extremism, and then all they did was just reworded it for the right-wing extremists. So what that basically tells you is it doesn't matter what side you're on, whether you be on right-wing or left-wing, they want to stop all protest. They want to eliminate it. They reworded it, retained it to go against the right wing and the libertarians, the people who see it as one big mess, like I show here in this poster. We've got Bush being Hitler. We've got Obama being a communist. You hear this from every side of the fence. See, we've been talking that there is no red state, no blue state. It's the state versus you. The primary objective is to demonize and criminalize the effective opposition to government and their policies. If you don't want to pay taxes, if you don't want to go what the government tells you to do, do what the government tells you to do, you are going to be labeled a terrorist, and they do have the power to mass arrest. And they will have the power to mass arrest because we'll allow them to do this. Yeah, this guy's angry over here. Give him a hand. Go ahead and get on the microphone. Get on the microphone and say something. All right, buddy? Thank you. Last week, we emphasized again that the red state and blue state are not divided, but an organized illusion to keep you from progressing. The state is now against you, and they now use a great weapon to keep you in line. That is the weapon of fear. We are still living in a fear-based country. Every decision that is made by fear. You get the little victim name tattooed on your forehead, and immediately you start acting. Because they say either you're going to die if you don't do this, or you're going to be attacked if you don't do this. You need to pay attention to what they're telling you and not fall for everything that comes down from the government. The perfect slave is the fearful slave. Okay? And if you're scared, it'll get you to do, they'll do anything. Victimization is a great tool to get people to start moving and doing things. Today, when you take a look at the news, when you take a look all around you, truths are totally ignored, lies and myths are generated by the mainstream narrative, which I call the media. We see that our politicians encourage propaganda, and the hot button issues that fuel our consensus reality. We live in an age of unprecedented myths, hypocrisies, evasions, and lies. And the duplicity is seldom challenged. Those who attempt to challenge it are called fear-mongers, conspiracy theorists. Some people are called racists. Heard that from Jeanine Garofalo the other day about the tax protesters. They were all racist because they're against Obama. No, they were both against the policies that Bush had put in and the transitional policies that are now still in power with Barack Obama. How many people have seen this latest video with Prince in it? How many by applause? Has anybody seen this? Isn't that the most amazing thing? Prince was talking about chemtrails. And he was talking about how when he was a kid, he saw the planes fly over. And then as he grew up, he realized that when those planes flew over and the dust had settled, people in his neighborhood were fighting. And he never knew why. So now he's beginning to realize why. And when they asked him how he felt about Barack Obama as a president, he didn't want to comment. Why? Because a lot of people are beginning to realize that this whole manufactured rebellion against Bush is a manufactured rebellion, and it's not something that, and nothing's really changing all that much. I mean, policies are one thing, but the idea that the Patriot Act hasn't been rescinded, the idea that they still wiretap, the idea they still all those horrible things to you has not been changed, and it needs to be changed. Otherwise, we're still living under the umbrella of fear. When the debate challenges our president's decisions, we see uglier things happen from people. If you decide to say that Obama's not what's going on, you get a whole lot of shit and ridicule. Just like you did the time when you said that George Bush was not doing a good job. You don't want that ugly stuff to happen, but it happens anyway. We've discovered that what works for these assholes is problem, reaction, solution. We discussed that divisive rhetoric had been used in news programs where the media has somehow interpreted protests as an insult to the president. Other commentaries have said that the protests are indicative of racist motives. Protests remain a product of transition, as I said. Unresolved things that we still need to resolve. Even though change is discussed and it's claimed to be happening, the same old Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution is being used to generate public fear, to generate victimization. It's still going on. As I said, more people are embittered now than they've ever been. And it just seems to me, I just heard tonight that I guess Obama's going after the offshore bank accounts. That's not going to fly, people. You start messing with people's money, they start getting a little agitated. And I just fear for that shit. You know, you don't screw with that shit, and that's what's happening. You know, you give them an inch, there's going to be some sort of revolution. We've already got Georgia wanting to secede from the union. Texas wants to secede from the union. California just wanted to rewrite its constitution. This is happening because people are fed up. They don't want to be a part of this government anymore. They're tired. They're just tired of it, and it's because it's not the same as the government that your grandfather or my grandfather or anybody fought for. It's not the same country. And we take a look at this pandemic fear that's been started with the flu, the swine flu outbreak. I want to point out some truth about fears based on perceived threats. As you will see in this presentation tonight, our leaders build all the monsters and they slay all the beasts that they've created in order to make themselves look better in the eyes of the people who are not capable of differentiating risk from reality. They create these monsters. They create the dragons they slay. They create them and they kill them, and then you say, thank you. Think you got it. I'm hearing like the swine flu. He's right. They create it and then they kill it. Following President Obama's speech, or actually his 100-day speech, it was said that that was one of the most boring press conferences he ever held, because we're so used to him being the hellfire, I'm going to do this, change that. But no, the reporters were all like staring at him and everybody was saying, oh, this is such a boring thing. They said more people tuned out than tuned in. During CNN's coverage of the press conference, Ed Rollins stated, I thought this opening statement was okay, but you know what? It bothers me a little bit that he goes on and on and on. It gets a little bit more boring, and you know, you need to hold the attention of the people a good 45 minutes, answer the questions. It was pretty boring. Chris Matthews said the same thing. This isn't partisan, people. This was all across the board. What's happened to Barack Obama? Why is he so boring? Why is he so... And in fact, Matthews had said this. He said, the press seems mesmerized by the president. Much of what he says is not challenged by what he calls the politico. No, nobody's saying, hey, what's going on here, man? Why are we falling apart? Why are there so many crises going on? The question is, why? Why would his press conference be so boring? Why are the press just sitting back and taking in all of these dry words with all of this over-the-top crisis we've been having? I mean, we should be having more people saying, well, what about the swine flu? What about the money situation? What about climate change? The calm does not match the panic. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't match the panic. Because there is no panic, okay? They know it, but most people don't know it. As the words pandemic and Armageddon roll off the lips of health officials all over the world, it is safe to say that this is just one more panic in a series of panics that seem to have the whole world in its grip. The power elite of the state know that there is no panic. They know that they can benefit from a sick and panicked nation. Adding to the panic, we have Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who declared a state of emergency in California because 60 children contracted the swine flu. He requested that $1.5 billion go to him in emergency aid. Yes, there is money to be made from disease. They needed that money because their economy was in the shitter. It helped them a great deal. $1.5 billion for Tamiflu and tracking and looking up the spread of the disease. Donald Rumsfeld also made $5 million off the disease by cashing in his credits with his company invested in Tamiflu. demonstrating once again that there's money to be made. Money to be made off of a panic situation. Okay? Problem, reaction, solution is the formula for the state to generate money and to take away human rights. The swine flu pandemic, while very real, was overhyped and was used as an excuse to monitor and detain U.S. citizens, create unnecessary panic, and construct a distraction and pretext for discussion on the universal health care bill. It also created tensions with the pork industry as consumer confidence in pork allegedly suffered due to pig panic. What's really interesting about the pig panic is that there was a company called Smithfield. And they're the company in a place called Gloria, Mexico, where this whole swine flu thing allegedly started. They had to basically tell the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization to stop calling the flu the swine flu because people divested in pork bellies. They stopped investing in pork bellies. And they said, hey, stop this. It's ruining our business. Stop it. So they did. They changed it. They changed it to the Mexican flu. What happened? The Mexicans got pissed off. Don't call it the Mexican flu. It's not our flu. So they decided to call it the North American flu, just to make everybody happy. It went from the swine to the Mexican to the North American flu. And this action, once again, was an attempt to try and keep this disease politically correct, which I think is fucking amazing and stupid, but still amazing nonetheless. Dr. John Carlo, who is the medical director of Dallas County Health and Human Services, actually went on the record stating that this new flu has all the indications of being cultured in a lab. Surprise, surprise. Yep, according to news sources, he made the statement not to fuel conspiracy theory, but to demonstrate that this strain is a completely new virus and something not seen before anywhere. After he was criticized for that statement, he then retracted his statement, saying that there should be no consideration that this is man-made and the swine flu is not rare, blurring the lines between credibility and science. Go ahead.
I think it's funny that they also they started calling it the North American flu when we've got the North American Union starting to come up pretty soon here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's reasons for this. There's reasons that they changed the names because they don't want to offend certain people. They want to save their money. Go ahead. That microphone's not working. Go to the other microphone.
A natural flu wouldn't be a racist. It would affect all black people, white people, Mexican people. So Mexican people dying from it sounds like a genetically altered flu.
See, no one wants to have their names associated with a killer flu.
And we've always, and also it started, like it was in Mexico and might be brought to America. And Mr. Obama shook hands with the museum curator who died. Maybe Obama gave him the swine flu.
Why don't we just call it the Obama flu?
You know, call it the Obama flu. I mean,
the Obama flu bomber.
We all might have it, but it doesn't affect our DNA.
It could be. And that's a good point. Give him a hand for that. It's a great observation. Great observation. The WHO had said that when the outbreak of the strain hit the mainstream news, it was reported that the WHO said that the flu infected more than 1,000 people and killed more than 150 people in Mexico. Then it was reduced to 1,000 infected and 7 dead. Why did this enable the raising of the world pandemic threat level to 5? No one knows. It's the second highest in history, and I don't know why they raised it. But at first you hear 150 people dead, and it immediately drops to 7 people dead. How does that happen? Well, they reevaluate it. They say, well, we can't necessarily technically say he died of this. He died of the pneumonia that came with it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a big gap, I think, right there. And I think that we're beginning to see a pattern with regards to these types of things. Typical flu strains kill about 36,000 people annually. 13,000 deaths occurred with the flu since January. 7 people have died of the swine flu in Mexico, yet it's the second highest ranking of threat level ever in our lifetimes. 36,000 people die of the flu every year, 13,000 since January. Do you see a little bit of a problem here with the figuring? See a little bit of problem here? We're getting people lined up at OHSU wanting to find out if they're sniffles and sneezes or the swine flu when it's just allergy season. You see where the money's being made here? Somebody's profiting from this fear. It's disaster capitalism, okay? It's how they operate. Get you scared enough, you'll fork over the money, you'll fork over your rights, you'll fork over anything. We did talk about the harm principle last week and how they are able to do this. I'm sorry, you cannot object to it. You just can't, because it's something that they can in, they can actually, I mean, they blur the lines all the time to fit their needs, and that's exactly what goes on with this. For years, we've been told that there are threats, that there's terrible threats being planned by Osama bin Laden to wipe out the population, or how man-made creations would ultimately destroy our planet, Hong Kong flu, DDT production, global cooling, Russian flu, AIDS, global warming, SARS, avian flu, climate change, all created panic. All real, but used to create panic because they want to overinflate the probability of death, the probability of danger. We have these official-sounding headlines that constantly repeat that we're all going to perish for some reason and that we have to have government action in order to take care of us. You guys see the pattern here? You see the pattern? It's what happens. And I stress the government action thing because no disease, plague, or threat is worth the trouble of panicking about it unless the government has a hand in it, unless they use it as a cudgel to constantly bang into your head that you need to be aware of it. Here's a headline. It says, swine flu, all of humanity under threat, WHO warns. The World Health Organization has warned that all of humanity is under threat from a potential swine flu pandemic and called for global solidarity to combat the virus. Global solidarity because we're all in grave danger, over 7 dead in Mexico. Grave danger, global solidarity, new world order. It's all there. How many people, oh, yes, we'll get behind the WHO, the World Health Organization, UN, because they're going to save us. They got to save us from this horrible, horrible flu. You know what's really bullshit about this whole thing? How the hell, I mean, who are they kidding, right? To coin a phrase. Think about this, okay? Uniting is far from the minds of people when you have Mexicans getting sick and coming over the borders. Americans hate immigrants. The majority of these half-witted, dumbass right-wingers hate immigrants. They're xenophobics. And they're certainly not going to stand for the suspicious brown people coming over the border and bringing their horrible diseases. I've heard it up to here about TB. Okay, yes, we've had about 200,000 cases of TB last year. No major threat, all coming from Mexico, all coming from the foreigners. And they don't bathe either. They all stink. I mean, I've heard it all, people. How are we going to unite when you have a disease that's Mexican coming over the border? It doesn't make sense to me. Go ahead.
If tuberculosis is coming over the border with Mexicans, I guarantee we can cure it. It's the antibacteria-resistant tuberculosis up here bred by our having too many antibiotics all the damn time whenever we get a sniffle.
That's true.
That is the real problem.
And you know, we're not used to this stuff. Yeah, give her a hand. We're not used to this, but take a look at China. Take a look at China. This is pictures from China. They're used to flus all the time. They're used to this in Asia. They're used to this in the Middle East. That's a picture of a guy being held up in a hotel in Hong Kong. They won't let him out. They won't let them out because they're afraid of the flu. They do these quarantines all the time. We got a taste of what that's like here in America. We got a taste of what it's like. And they're pretty damn serious about this stuff, the warnings to protect the populace from strains. It's a common occurrence. It's common for flu quarantines to take up public time. Here in America, oh, it's nothing. Yeah, we can do it. It's fine. But seriously, they do this. It's all procedures. The World Health Universalists are living a pipe dream, in my opinion. And how do you get America to have an ethereal bond between people of other nations? World problems in comparison to America's problems can't even muster concern with mainstream America. As long as people stare at the news without being affected, they may show signs of empathy. But beyond empathy, most people couldn't give a shit. Oh, I really feel for those people in Africa. Yeah, fuck you, you don't. That's why you believe in pirate stories. Have you noticed now the stories are not coming out about the pirates, how they are poor fishermen getting fucked over by the big companies? There was some articles that came out recently. I'm getting them all sent to me now. Also, the cook of the Maersk Alabama is suing the Maersk Alabama crew because they were in the waters when they weren't supposed to be there. They were told to stay out of there, and they were doing some pretty shitty things to the Somalis over there. And so now he has reason to sue. Yeah, our big captain, who's a hero, was already fucking around. That's why they got pulled over by those pirates. Pirates. Okay. You see, you don't hear the whole story. You only hear what the America story is, because they want to twist it to fit their agenda. We have to go in and knock out their bases, those pirates. They don't have any bases. That was all crap. They're not even acquainted with Al Qaeda. We were being told that. All crap generated by the new administration, not Bush. Aldous Huxley once said that if the entire nation of China were to disappear from the face of the earth tomorrow, it would mean less to us than if we were to lose the tip of one of our little fingers. And I believe that. Flu has always been a concern in the world. America just got a taste of what it feels like to live in China or the Middle East. The even greater peculiarity is that Americans probably will not see that these plagues and contagions could be synthesized and manufactured to be released in a timely way and then eradicated as quick as they arrive. The fear they bring can be a force multiplier by the media. And also, there are opportunists that blur facts to reinforce agendas or even make money. Some call it disaster capitalism. That's exactly what's going on with this flu pandemic of fear that you're hearing about. It's not a hoax, people. I heard Alex Jones call it a hoax. This is not a hoax. This is an exploitation of a real disease. This is the second wave of the flu. First wave was in Beijing. This is the second wave. The third wave is going to kick people's asses. That's how these things work. So when you hear Jane Napolitano saying that the third one's going to be bad, she's right. She's not lying. Okay? This was the dry run for the big dance. It may hit us in December, it may hit us later, but it is incubating and it's waiting for the third go-round. And usually, unless it mutates out, the third go-round is going to kill a hell of a lot of people. So, they exploited it now, they made their money now, but the real problem is going to be when people really are dropping dead and people really aren't being able to cope and economies crash and people are kept in their homes because they can't go out, shake hands, spit, or even talk to each other. So it's not a hoax.
Let's go spelunking.
So spelunking. When we begin to see inflated death tolls and overzealous hype dealing with serious pandemics, one has to wonder why this hype was started in the first place. We begin to wonder if the pandering to peril is by design because someone in a very important position has been told that a big event is coming, or perhaps this is part of a dry run exercise for an even bigger dance. It could be as simple as bioterrorism for the sake of greed. However, nobody wants to believe that there are people out there as diabolical and as evil in places of power basically fucking people when they're sick. We don't want to believe that because we're Americans and nothing happens like that in America. Fuck you. It's happening. It's happening, and it's not just the flu that's scaring people. Before science fiction author Michael Crichton died, he was ostracized for a speech that he gave on the subject of complexity theory and environmental management. Michael criticized environmental groups for failing to incorporate complexity theory, or chaos theory, in their doom-mongering projections of the effects of climate change. Crichton boldly chastised those who inflated projected cataclysm from global warming and encouraged them to factor in the possibility that a complex system such as planet Earth and this ecosystem can and will be resilient. Crichton had said that while researching his book State of Fear, he was looking for a disaster that he could use as a model for a world crisis. He chose the Chernobyl disaster because he recalled that thousands of people had died, but in his research, he found that his recalling of events did not match the reality. The initial reports in 1986 claimed that there were actually 2,000 dead, then a reported unknown number of future deaths and deformities would eventually occur in a wide swath extending from Sweden to the Black Sea. As the years passed, the size of the possible future deaths increased. By 2000, the BBC and New York Times estimated that 15,000 to 30,000 people would eventually be dead. After all the fanfare of thousands dying and future megadeath projections, the final death toll directly related to the disaster of Chernobyl was 56 people. 56 people died. No. They were people being born with heart problems. You're right about that. They were born with heart problems. But most of the deaths that occurred were not directly related, according to Crichton, were not directly attributed to the irradiation. What most people died of was they gave up hope. They gave up. Most of them basically curled up and died. They felt sorry for themselves. They realized that their lives would be shortened because they were told, you're going to die. A lot of people had thyroid problems. Of course, living with thyroid problems is not a good thing. But they eventually did die of basically realizing there's no hope. Many of them quit their jobs. Many of them lived off the state. They just assumed their lives were over. And so what I'm saying is directly involved with Chernobyl's 56. Whatever happened after that with the psychological aspects is something else entirely. But you see, that all goes with the idea with the swine flu as well, and that is how many people really had the swine flu that went to the doctor and how many people didn't. I mean, precaution is something that we need to have, sure, but a lot of people were frightened. Crichton says the psychological impact of fearing a cataclysmic event is just as lethal as experiencing it. How many cataclysmic events in our lifetime are coming our way that we've been told about? Nuclear war, World War IV, global warming, 2012. Gosh, I could give you a whole list of things. You know, sun disasters, alien threats, you name it, all waiting to kill us all. And all being blamed on you. What got Crichton into a lot of trouble was not that he said that 56 deaths were, you know, directly related. What got him into trouble is when he started talking badly about global warming and how he said it was fear-mongering. He stated, we need to recognize that this kind of human response with Chernobyl is well-documented. Authoritatively telling people that they're going to die can itself be fatal. The global warming scare has been constantly pushed as a means to our end. We are told that the end of the world is near because of climate change. He said that it is just not true. Junk science has thrown out the aspects of complexity theory and its effects on the environment. No one even brings up the idea of resilience of systems and how the Earth is capable of adjusting and healing on its own. Now, it's been about 20-some-odd years since Chernobyl. They're now reporting that most of the children now that are being born stronger, they react better to certain situations, they seem to be fine. We're seeing that Chernobyl is healing. We're not saying that it's a bad thing, that it wasn't a bad thing, it was a bad thing. But what we're seeing is that there is some resilience since the 1986 accident. Agility and health in the children now. Things are changing for the children of Chernobyl. When the 9-hour eruption of Mount St. Helens subsided, a scene of unbelievable destruction extended over an area of 150 square miles. From the air, the ground surface of the formerly pristine forest appeared as millions of giant toothpicks littered over the rolling mountainous terrain there. A closer look revealed that the toothpicks were actually stripped and uprooted tree trunks. We all know about this, coming from the Northwest, that it was a very, very ugly thing what had happened at Mount St. Helens. But what's really interesting now is if you go out to the area of Mount St. Helens, you have at least three forests there flourishing, three distinct ones flourishing. Land once dismissed as sterile moonscape is now creating plush and beautiful trees. Sure, there are some of the old remnants of the disaster there, but growth and life is finding its way back to the areas of Mount St. Helens. Back to the areas. And for many of you that have been out there, you know this to be true. Life is finding a way to come back again. Crichton concluded, we simply live on an active planet. Earthquakes are continuous, 1.5 million of them every year, or 3 every minute. A Richter 5 quake every 6 hours, a major quake every 3 weeks. A quake as destructive as the one in Pakistan every 8 months. It is nothing new. It's right on schedule. At any moment, there are 1,500 electrical storms on the planet. A tornado touches down every 6 hours. We have 90 hurricanes a year, or one every 4 days. Again, right on schedule. Violent, disruptive, chaotic activity is a constant feature on our globe. Is this the end of the world? No. This is the world. Very good. You want to applaud that? I think it's very, very profound. This is the world. It's the way the world is. It's important to look at just what happened with the swine flu outbreak of 2009. We see that it seems to be common in any disaster for authorities to overproject death tolls, create unnecessary panic, and avoid the possibility of reporting resilience. And now they're doing it because they're saying, well, we don't want to scare anybody. It's getting better now. Well, we scared the shit out of people, but it's getting better now. You know, it's an outrageous anomaly that people who believe in the greenwash of global warming do not even consider the possibility of resilient outcomes and complexity models that have time and again proven that the Earth can recover. I'm not saying this is an excuse to go fuck with the planet. In fact, I just did a big bitching session about dumping shit in the oceans. Nobody talks about that anymore, and we're still cleaning up from wars from the 20th century. We're still cleaning up toxic waste from those wars, the Cold War, World War I, and World War II. We're still cleaning up. And depleted uranium is killing babies all over the Middle East, parts of England. It's getting out of hand. Okay? And yet we're being told that we're going to be taxed out of our asses because we produce greenhouse gases. You know, taxing people for, you know, taxing farmers for cow flatulence is just bullshit. I mean, something is coming out of the cow's ass, and it's not farts. Right? Right. So, the Earth is capable of recovery, and there's no reason to live in a state of fear. As I said, this is not meaning that we should take our chances with the planet and be careless. Recycling and doing your part for the environment is common sense. Using something as natural as climate change is a tool of fear, a tool for taking away human rights, taxing the people for shit, like I said, the flatulence of cows. Come on. The only green here that is on their minds is the green that can line their pockets. It's the same as with the flu, except it's more long-term. It's silly. And I know that a lot of people aren't going to agree with me because we have scientists saying, but you know what? Here's something. Being green for me is not so easy, and I'll show you why. These are actual headlines I'm going to show you tonight. You're going to find them very interesting. Anxious about Earth's troubles? There's treatment. Psychiatrists are raring to go to give you all kinds of medications to get you feeling better about the fact that your planet's dying and helping you get more contact with the natural surroundings. Hey, teenagers, got acne? Blame it on global warming. Acne. Caused by global warming. Okay? This is an actual headline. Global warming is actually an example or an effect of climate change. Climate change or global warming is defined as an increase in average temperature, etc., etc., etc. Increased temperature means sebaceous glands and acne will increase. I used to think it was masturbation. Anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, is that why everybody in Saharan and tropical climates are just covered with zits?
Yeah, see, it doesn't make any sense, right? Here are two articles back-to-back that I thought were interesting. Global warming makes sea less salty. Saltier North Atlantic could give currents a boost. The surface waters of the North Atlantic are getting saltier because of global warming. Over here, they're not as salty because of global warming. Which is it? Which is it? Neither, because it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Wrong. I'm wrong. Come and tell me why. I mean, why does it say one thing and then it says another thing? I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. What's going on?
Exactly what you talked about before. Michael Crichton talked about a really dynamic world, and that's exactly how the world works. It's very dynamic. It can be hot in one spot, cold in another. You can increase in salinity somewhere else. It can be a decreased salinity in another place.
But they're talking about, in this article, they're saying, he is right, but what I'm trying to say is that it says here that the ocean will become less salty with global warming, and it says here that it won't be less salty because of global warming. I mean, it's generalized speaking. I mean, I know that there are places, I mean, otherwise...
No offense, but these are reporters, and they might pick up one journal article that talks about some specific ecosystem in the North Atlantic, but they're not talking about a Caribbean ecosystem.
So you're telling me that it's not an exact science?
No, it's never an exact science. That's
okay.
The best thing about it.
So if it's not an exact science, then why are they going to tax me for something that's junk science?
Because they're going to tax you for anything they can.
But I don't want them to tax me for junk science.
Of course, none of us do.
Right. So,
but we have to start somewhere. You have to take a precautionary principle, or else you take, you know, we can't find anything wrong with it. You have to prove to me it's bad for me. I don't know. In the European Union, they their point of view is you as the company have to prove that your chemical will not adversely affect the environment. In the United States, we take the principle of you have to prove it's bad.
Well, see, this isn't an argument of whether or not...
That's bullshit.
Well,
it's just like, if you're going to make some arbitrary synthetic chemical and just introduce it into the environment...
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Roundup or whatever.
However, that's not what this is about. Okay? What this is about is... I will tell you. You want to come on the microphone and talk? We can talk, too. Go ahead, sure. What this is about is whether or not anthropogenic global warming is caused by me, okay? Whether or not I'm causing it, okay?
I agree.
And these bastards are dumping nuclear waste and toxic waste from all the foreign wars that we have fought since the turn of the 20th century.
I agree 100%. I don't think it's about anthropogenic global warming. I think it's more about anthropogenic toxic waste, ecotoxicity.
Right.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
It's more of a problem about these adverse chemicals more than any kind of like 2 freaking degrees Celsius increase in our air temperature. Granted, that's a lot, but...
Well, global sustainability.
But it's all about the pollutants. It's all about these random parameters in companies like FISA inventing these chemicals that will never come out of the ecosystem, you know, talking about,
I have no problem with that at all. No problem with that at all. What I have a problem with is I have a problem with a non-exact science basically being used to tax me.
I agree 100%.
That's like saying eugenics, which isn't an exact science, exactly. Becoming a political tool, basically suing me for something. I don't like that. I mean, I'm not saying that we should pollute the planet. That's not my point. Yeah, give him a hand for stating some facts. I don't believe that we should abuse the planet. That's not the goal of this. What's that? You have any? You want to say something? Say something, please. Come on the microphone and say it. We're broadcasting, dude. Come on. Sure.
You have a point, right? Make the point you want to make. I'm asking you. Make your point.
No, I've been making my point. My point is that I don't want cataclysmic disaster capitalism basically taxing the shit out of me for something that's overinflated.
I totally agree. So make your point.
That is the point. That is my point. Did you just come in? I've been making my point the whole time.
Hi, Brett.
Hey, Brett. I'm Clyde. That's what you need.
Oh, no problems.
Okay, cool. Lindell, do you have a statement? I want to hear your statement. Fuck my statement. Hear your statement. Go ahead. What? Okay.
Give me intro.
Oh, you want an intro? Okay. Brett?
Roll for a while.
Oh, okay. Sure. Go ahead, you.
Wild, by the way.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I want him to talk. Go ahead. Wait, would somebody please applaud him to come up and say something? Please. Come on up and say something. Go ahead, quick.
You know, opinions are like assholes and armpits, and here's mine. Okay, I think man-made global warming is a fucking hoax. And here's my reason, quite simply. Have you ever heard of the Oregon petition? 30,000 scientists disagree with Al Gore, the corporate whore. I'm all done now.
All right, thank you. One thing that I find interesting about global warming is you can't take out an insurance policy against it, which I think is also pretty damn suspect. I mean, if you could, I mean, you can do it for tornadoes, you can do it for earthquakes, you can do it for all sorts of things. Global warming? No, you can't, which is really weird. Global warming can cause global cooling. That's another thing I thought was interesting. I saw that headline. Climate change causes killer cornflakes. Yeah, that's a real headline. Climate change could lead to killer cornflakes with cereal carrying the most potent liver toxin ever recorded. The effects of the toxins known as mycotoxins have been known since the Middle Ages when rye bread contaminated with ergot was a staple part of the European diet. You have your cornflakes and you're crazy. You trip out, man. It's what? It's the tiger claws? It's like the fucking tiger. That's exactly what it is. Will global warming cause World War IV? They say yes. But you know what? I believe that because people are going to be worried about resources. It's about global sustainability and water and food. And we've talked about this before. You've got a crisis that's manufactured. You're telling people, hey, be afraid of the food and the water. People are going to be afraid of the food and water. And most of the people with the guns control the food and water. Okay? So, yes, it will. That is an interesting headline. Climate change serious. Beer affected. Your beer will be affected by global warming. So get ready for that. No more head on your beers, people. Not going to happen with global warming. You're going to be affected by that. There's an ex-Clinton official who basically tied the Minneapolis bridge collapse to global warming. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Global warming will cause mass cannibalism, according to Ted Turner. Get to know your neighbor because you're going to want to eat him later on tonight. Speaking of getting head, anyway. Oh, fuck off. That was a gratuitous joke. Fuck that. Jesus Christ. It's all about blowjobs and assholes. Ted Turner eating people. That's funny. Crocodile genders will be affected by global warming. Although there's a caption that says, crocodiles are under a threat due to hunting. I feel like Jay Leno doing these headlines. You know what I'm saying? Global warming might create lopsided planet. Lopsided planet. Global warming means longer days. Global warming will make the Earth spin faster. Which is it? Will it spin slower or spin faster? No one knows. It's a dartboard science, according to the headlines. Let's put it here. Dartboard here, dartboard there. Go ahead.
You know, what you're talking about here made me think of from the original Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right.
Where they create the computer that's going to come up with the answer to everything, but it's going to take millions of years. And so the computer convinces the philosophers that it's a good thing that you're not going to know what it is for millions of years because that's how you get famous on TV. And
42.
The chat shows and all that.
Exactly.
So that's what it was.
That's exactly this. It's like global warming will make the Earth spin faster or it'll make it spin slower. Nobody knows the truth. They're just actually faking it. I am serious.
What are the two fucking planets? Two planets actually spin it on the other side.
What?
What are the two planets spin the other side? Rest the round. Seriously, two planets spin opposite. Which ones are they? I'm asking you.
Which planets spin opposite?
Right. Right. And the other one. What's the other one?
Uranus.
See, you guys don't fucking know.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, go right ahead. Is that mic working?
Neptune and Venus.
Neptune and Venus. Thank you. Neptune, he's fine. He's on the microphone. He's fine. Usher, he's fine, man. He's okay. As long as he doesn't spit or throw his beer, he's fine. What's that? We said Venus and what was the other one? Mars? No, it's all about Uranus. Circling Uranus looking for Klingons. That's what it's all about, right? Is the Earth going to explode? Will the Earth explode due to global warming? That's a question that was asked. No second chance? No, it's not going to explode. Okay, what I'm doing here is, believe what you will about the global warming, okay? Believe what you will about global fear-mongering. Believe what you will about all this stuff, okay? But what has happened is that I read an article in the mainstream news that basically chastised anyone who went against the mainstream about the swine flu, saying that it was some sort of biological threat. All right? And so I figured it's just as comical to read about global warming as it is to read about the swine flu. And that's why the question is in times of crisis, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your gut or are you going to believe the government? Are you going to believe the Centers for Disease Control? Are you going to believe the World Health Organization? Are you going to believe Al Gore? Or TV? What's that? TV, well, TV doesn't always win because TV doesn't always give it right. Let's talk about something right now. I'm going to get off global warming. I'm going to talk a little bit about Al Gore. All right, I need this table just to calm down just a little bit. Please. Okay. According to Reuters News, a private U.S.-Chinese venture capital firm called Kleiner Perkins Caulfield & Byers, based in Menlo Park, California, launched a $200 million pandemic biodefense fund in 2006. The firm's portfolio includes 8 pandemic and biodefense firms, 2 of them, Novavax and Biodefense, are publicly traded. They're also working as consultants to BioCryst Pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceutical stock jumped up with the news of the swine flu outbreak in Mexico. Novavax got stocks up 75%. They had already contacted the Centers for Disease Control to offer them help with the crisis. But the same story also said that shares of Gilead Sciences Incorporated, which gets royalties from the sale of Tamiflu from the Swiss, And BioCryst also saw its stock climb more than 70%. Guess who's a partner at KBCB? Al Gore. Al Gore said that all the money he gets from this company, he donates to the global warming cause. So basically, this flu was good for global warming. It was good for Al Gore, it was good for global warming, and it was good for his organization. So, you know, we can thank the swine flu because of Al Gore's Green Growth Fund. It got financed with all the stuff where the stocks had gone up. So getting sick is good for the economy. Having people sick and dying is good for the economy. Once again, I mean, where's the morals here? Where's the moral high ground? You're making money off of tragedy and fear and panic. There's nothing good about this. It's sick and it's wrong. On November 14th, 2007, a United Kingdom Telegraph quoted one of the co-sponsors, David Bluke, of the Green Growth Fund. He said, there's a significant gap between the capital needed and the capital currently deployed to create enduring solutions for climate crisis. They've made their money, people. They've made their money. Selling a boatload of swine flu vaccine to panicked government officials in Mexico, the United States, and Canada would raise a lot of capital for more programs designed to thwart global warming. There you go. .com. I just want to know, does this make you a little angry? Doesn't it make you feel a little sick that this is going on? The point of this show is not to down global warming. Climate change is a reality, but the political aspects of global warming are a travesty. They are being used to get you to pay money and to do it out of fear. To do it out of fear. The happy part for your birthday, are you 21? Okay, the happy part for your birthday is this. If you decide at your 21st birthday to live, and you start spreading the idea of living and life, listen to me. If you spread the word of living and life and not fear, if you encourage people to be informed and to know what's really going on and not take the mainstream news word for it, you're going to live a mighty long time. And you're going to die a very, very uneventful death. And I'm hoping that's the case, 21-year-old. Okay? And that's the whole point. We want to have uneventful deaths. We don't want to die in some nuclear conflagration, some doomsday that they've concocted in 2012. But if we continue to point the bone and curse people into believing they're going to die because of some global manufactured threat, we're all going to be in big trouble. So, the point of this show tonight is not to say that there's doom and gloom out there. The point of this show tonight is to say, listen to what they're saying about it and try to use your head. That's why it's here on your neck. And keep in mind that it wasn't a hoax, people. It was a reality, and there is a third wave that's coming. Be prepared for it. Be prepared for it. All right? I know that a lot of you are all wanting to get drunk and listen to karaoke from hell. I want to remind you that the Ground Zero Lounge is heard on MediaMonarchy.com. Give James a big round of applause for posting it. Cascadia Media posts it. We sometimes wind up on YouTube. We're heard all over the world. We're thankful for that. Give Frank a big hand for hosting this here at Ground Zero. And if any of you tonight wants copies of any of the shows that have been played here at the Ground Zero Lounge, if you want them for presentations at school, or if you want them in presentations for your friends, or just to use them as references, I have them available, and I will burn copies for you at $10 a copy. So be sure and get with me if you want copies of this show or any of the other shows that we produce here at the Ground Zero Lounge. I'd also like to thank Janine Duffy for helping me with some of the wonderful images. Give her a round of applause for her work. Have a good night. I'm Clyde Lewis. We'll see you next week from the Ground Zero Lounge. Take care.